Please turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 15. And this afternoon, we want to look at verses 1 to 7. The subject before us is be imitators of Christ. Be imitators of Christ. Paul is actually in this 7 verses summing up what he has been teaching us in Romans 12, right up to this point, concerning how we Christians should not despise or condemn others, particularly the stronger one towards the weaker. Nor should we hinder the conduct of other believers or other Christians in our congregation, that we may instead be of help, be of encouragement to one another. Now in this chapter, verses 1 to 7, Paul provided us with a third principle for believers to observe when treating our fellow believers. The principle is to follow the example of our Lord Jesus Christ. How the Lord Jesus relate to us. So we ought to learn from the example of our Savior. Jesus was the supreme example who ministered on behalf of others, not for himself. It is therefore fitting for us that those of us who take the name of Christ, those of us who claim to be believers or Christians, we ought to walk in the footsteps of our Savior. After all, the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever and to be Christ-like. And so, we look to our Lord Jesus as the one who is the perfect example for us to imitate. The Apostle Paul developed this principle in three ways. Firstly, our first heading, the onus is firstly on the stronger Christian. If you look at verse 1, chapter 15. We then, that are strong, ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. So the responsibility firstly lies and the stronger believer. Paul, you notice here, he used the word we. And so he placed himself with the stronger saints. We that are strong. And this refers to those who are strong in faith or strong in conviction and in their conscience, in their faith. They have the greater responsibility to bear or to support the infirmities of the weak. In other words, to bear with the failings of those Christians who are weak in conscience. And we must recognize the fact that there are such Christians in every congregation, in every church. There are true believers, there are false believers. There are strong believers, there are weak believers. And this we must keep in mind. In other words, to bear with the failings of those who are weaker in conscience. The strong ought not to despise the weak. They ought to bear with them, just as the Lord Jesus bear with us. Also, the strong should not seek to please themselves. Paul says, and not to please ourselves. The last clause here ought not to please ourselves is the key. A Christian should not be self-centered and selfish, but should be concerned about the spiritual well-being of fellow believers. This we must cultivate. Before we became a Christian, we have no concern for others. We have no concern for the well-being of our neighbors, much less concerned with other Christians, with a But now that we are believers, now that we are Christian, we should cultivate this in our hearts, a love and concern for the well-being of fellow believers, members of the household of faith, as Paul puts it. True Christian love is not self-seeking and self-serving. We learn this in the great chapter on the book on the subject of love, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. True Christian love is not self-seeking and self-serving. Rather, it seeks to share with others and desire their good. It is even willing to carry the younger Christian to help them along in their spiritual development. We do not endure them, but we intentionally seek to build them up in the Lord. Pleasing others, however, is not in itself, is not the end in itself, but is for their good, to the edification, meaning to say to build them up. Verse 2, let every one of us please his neighbor for good, for his good to edification. And so pleasing others is not the end in itself, but is for their good, to build them up. Why should the strong Christian treat the weaker ones this way? It is because of the example the Lord Jesus Christ has left us, and he commanded us to do likewise. Christ is equal with God. Even he did not please himself. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. So, the Lord Jesus, as we know from Scripture, he came to do the will of his Father willingly, humbly, who sent him. John 4:34. And he also came to do the will of the Father to please the Father. John 5:30 and John 8:29. And to support this statement, the Apostle Paul quoted a part of a verse from the Messianic Psalm, Psalm 69, verse 9, which I read to you just now. The reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. Christ was insulted, humiliated by sinners because of his association with God the Father. So, beloved, if we think, or if you are, or if you think that you are making a great sacrifice by giving up some of your Christian liberties, then may I suggest to you that you measure your sacrifice by the sacrifice of Christ for you on the cross. And in that way, when we do that, then we will realize what is that sacrifice that we sacrifice for our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ in comparison to what Christ sacrificed for us, isn't it? No sacrifice Christian could ever make could match Calvary. Is it not true? Our Lord Jesus Christ paid a tremendous price in order to minister to us, in order to bring to us salvation, eternal life. So the Apostle Paul aptly quoted Psalm 69, verse 9 to prove this point. How much, brethren, as believers, we ought to humble ourselves and to condescend to our weaker brethren to encourage them, just as Christ our Lord so willingly do so to us. We no longer live the old life. What we have done with no care and concern in the past when we were non-believers or not Christians should be put aside. Now that we are in Christ, now that we are believers, Now that we are given a new lease of life, eternal life in Christ, we ought to live this way. We ought to look at the example of Christ and to follow Him and to treat our brethren in love and to support them. The second way Paul develops the principle of Christ as our example is the purpose and the ministry of Scripture. Look at verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. This is to say that everything that was written in Scripture revealed to us in the past was written for to teach us. The literal translation there is for our instruction. The Scriptures serve to help the believers in two ways. First, it gives patience, or it gives endurance. The Greek word patience can be translated as endurance. Endurance to the believers. In the Greek, it also means steadfastness in the face of adversity. And this is the help that the Christian receive from Scripture. The second purpose of Scripture is to give the believers comfort or encouragement. Comfort or encouragement so that we might have hope. Hope in Christ. And the word there, hope, is in the present tense. Keep on having hope. And this is possible for the Christian because of the Lord Jesus Christ. As Christians, as when we study the Scripture, we learn from the past. We learn what is written in the Old Testament about other Christians. How they lived their life, how they did not please themselves, how they lived their life that pleases God. In that way, we are motivated when we look at their example. Motivated to endure, motivated or inspired to persevere and to be comforted in the present, looking ahead in hope or in confidence to the future. A Christian spiritual maturity, how do we measure it or how do we know it? Is revealed by his discernment of the teaching of the Word of God in the Bible. I repeat, a Christian maturity is revealed by his discernment or his understanding of the teachings of the Word of God in the Bible. And then from teaching to practice or to living it out in his daily life. The believer then seeks the help of the Holy Spirit and willingly give up his rights so that other Christians may be helped and built up in their faith. He does so, or he does this. He practices this. He exercises Christian love, not as a burden, but as a blessing. Out of love for the Lord Jesus, out of love for the brethren, and for the glory of God. This should be our goal, our motto in life. As believers, just as loving parents will make sacrifices for their children, so the mature believer sacrifices to help younger Christians to grow in the faith. Is this our desire? Is this our attitude towards one another in our local congregation? If not, may I suggest to all of us that we seek the Lord's forgiveness, that we learn to imitate our Lord Jesus Christ, remembering how Christ condescended to us to receive us, wretched sinners, and to give us not only eternal life, but to help us to hope in Him and to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, and we ought to do likewise. The Scriptures, both the Old Testament along with the New Testament, is God's Word, and so is spiritually profitable for what? To afford strength and hope to believers. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 3:16, and I think you know this verse very well. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The third way Paul develops the principle of Christ as our example is in verse 5 to 6, the means of prayer. The means of prayer. Now the God of patience and consolation grants you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may be one mind and one mouth, glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The steadfast endurance and encouragement a Christian receives from Scripture or receives from the Word of God comes ultimately from God the Holy Spirit, the author of inspired Scripture. So Paul in verse 5 prayed, now the God of patience and consolation grants unto you to be like-minded, which means that God would give the believers a spirit of unity. To be like-minded literally means to think the same. Paul has already brought up his teaching or this teaching of like-mindedness in Romans 12 verse 16. There he says, be of the same mind one toward another. So, to be like-minded in the Greek text means to live in harmony with fellow believers in Christ as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Literally, according to Jesus, as what we have it in our AV Bibles. To be like-minded means to live in harmony with fellow believers as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. The ultimate purpose of this unity. Why is Paul teaching us and emphasizing so much of this unity? To be like-minded. Alright, to be of one mind, one heart, or one mouth. This is an expression of the unity of our inward feeling and outward expression. The ultimate purpose of this unity is this, that believers together would glorify God. And in fact, the word glorify again here, it is in the present tense, that believers together would keep on glorifying God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the final purpose of Christian individually and of the church corporately. That we all together with one heart, one mind, one mouth, glorify our Father in heaven. Therefore, this teaching, or rather this teaches us that unity of faith and love among believers that God alone can impart are the key components that lead to unity in worship despite all the ethnic and cultural differences that exist in the church. Brethren, let us pray that the Lord Jesus through His Holy Spirit will impart such a blessing to our church and the church at last. May this be our prayer for one another, that the Lord will indeed impart and give us and bind us in the bond of Christ's love, and that Lord, and that in unity of faith we may live our lives that glorify God and testify for Him. So since the object of interpersonal relationship among Christians is a unified glorying of God, Paul concluded in verse 7 with a command. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. This is a command. It is in the present imperative. It means to keep on receiving or keep on accepting one another. Significantly, this is the same command Paul gave to the strong Christians when he opened this entire discussion in Romans chapter 4 verse 1. So more importantly, what I like to impress upon us is this. What we need to take heed is the basis of acceptance for the Lord Jesus, for the fellow Christian. And what is this basis? The basis is the Lord Jesus Christ, who so graciously accepted or received us wretched sinners, undeserving sinners. This is the basis. The Lord Jesus received believers. How? When they were not only powerless, Romans 5:6, powerless there means without strength, weak. The Lord Jesus Christ received us sinners when we were not only powerless or weak, but also ungodly. The same verse in Romans 5:6. And the Lord Jesus not only received us when we are powerless, when we are ungodly, while we were yet sinners, Romans 5:8. And when we were his enemies, Romans 5:10. Therefore, brethren, on this basis, you who are Christian, you who claim to be a believer, can you not likewise receive, accept other believers who differ with you on the non-essential matters? Brethren, keep this in mind. The Lord Jesus Christ graciously received each one of us as sinners to the glory of God's grace, so we ought to, being recipient of God's grace, we ought to open heartedly in love receive imperfect saints in our congregation, to the end that we can all in unity glorify God and praise be to our God. And this is the purpose of unity. And so may the Lord help us to strive towards this unity as we see so many of these divisions and this disharmony and this unity in so many churches. And so we need to return to the scripture, return and learn from our Lord Jesus Christ to be his imitators, so that we may strive to, with the help of the Holy Spirit rather, to be imitators of Christ in our receiving of one another, accepting one another in the Lord, particularly in matters of non-essential. So may the Lord help us. Let us pray. Our Lord and our gracious loving Father, we thank thee once again for this very simple teaching, but yet oftentimes we do not live it out. We confess before you that oftentimes we are the one that cause division in the church, cause disharmony in the church, cause sorrow and pain to our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ because of our spiritual pride. Oh Father, we seek for your forgiveness of our sins, how we shame and dishonor thy holy name because we fail to follow the example of our Lord Jesus. We ignore, and oftentimes we take it very lightly and very carelessly, our testimony and our walk with you. Lord, we seek for your forgiveness and we pray for thy cleansing blood to wash each one of us, your children, that thou wilt create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us, that thou wilt create in us a heart that is after thy heart, a wise and understanding heart. Create in us a God-fearing heart. Create in us a humble and teachable heart. Create in us a heart full of love for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and a heart full of love for your laws and your commandments, to keep them out of our love for you. A heart full of love for our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, and a heart full of love even for those who are our enemies, who persecute us and despitefully use us. Only give us the greater strength that we may overcome evil with good. Oh Father, we pray that you will help every member of our church in New Life BPC London, that in this new week, O Lord, that thou will help us to live out the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, particularly during this time of uncertainty, time of this pandemic, that Lord, we may indeed be a people that live differently from those who are in panic, those who are in fear, those who are without hope, that we may live this life, this new life in Christ, for the glory of your holy name, and as a testimony of thy wisdom, of thy power, of thy goodness, of thy mercy, of thy compassion, and of thy protection. So help us, we pray, go before us and go with us in this new week. Bless thy people with thy strength, and may your presence be with us in a very real way. Hear this, our prayer, in Jesus' name. Amen.